thinking as we were singing and praising and listening to Ron's special, what a great way to really kick off the holiday season. You know, because you're going to get so much messaging. And then, well, you know, after, what, Halloween, you know, you get all this messaging about Christmas, and it's all about getting in your wallet so you go buy something, and it's all economically driven. And I just want you to know that's not what we're about, right? We're here to worship Jesus. And I'm glad we live in a nation that still remembers who the Savior is, even if they don't really know Him. We know Him, and we get to celebrate His birth, whether it was December or not. You know, we understand the Bible. But at the end of the day, it's good. And in this service in particular, we're going to start off with the birth of Christ, and at the end, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're going to remember when He became full grown and died on the cross in our place as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So I'm glad that you're with us today and we're able to celebrate that together. If you're a guest with us, we're glad that you're here. Glad that Terry and his family are here from Monmouth, wherever they went. And they may be mad and already left. No, there they are. Okay, so praise the Lord. And man, it's just good to be together this morning. So I got a treat for you today. Our guest speaker isn't me. So you'll be, yeah, that's great. You know, on our fifth Sunday, I've always liked to focus, and we, as a pastoral team, of course, we take the 9 o'clock off, and what a good week to do that too, huh? I mean, I think we've all been busy enough, and so it's good just to kind of make our way in this morning, but also we want to celebrate kind of two things with around the Lord's Supper, and that's God's heart for the world, and then God's heart for the church, right? So there's that great commission that we're always focusing on around here, the mission of God, to get the gospel where it needs to go on time, make disciples of all nations, plant churches, and continue to propagate the gospel till Jesus comes for us. And then there's also that special relationship that we do have with Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper, because we can't accomplish that ministry unless we're in unison. And the devil likes to, he's smart, right? The place he likes to work is in the church. He likes to divide us up. And so this is a great recognition of God's ability to keep us together through the unity of the Spirit and His love and His blood. And we're so thankful for that. And so today our guest speaker is going to be Doug Pearson. Doug and Bethany are here, and we're so glad to have them. And I'm excited to hear what Doug has for us. He doesn't really need an introduction, but man, we love you, Doug. He's a prolific missionary, one of the greatest missionaries I know, a great storyteller. And as he writes his rope holder ministry line, all the things that he and Bethany are engaged in, not just in Asia, but also other places. They travel to Europe. They travel here. They travel there. They go everywhere. And God blesses everywhere they go. And it's exciting to have him here this morning. So come up, Doug, and preach to us. We're glad to have you in the pulpit. Give Doug some love.
All right. Love you, Brian. Love you, Pastor. Good morning. Well, it's so good to be with you this Thanksgiving weekend, and this is Fabulous Fifth Sunday. Welcome to Fabulous Fifth. Hope you have a fabulous day today. You know, I want to bring you something a little bit unique this morning. This is going to be a special service. This church service is going to be different and unlike your normal church service, but we are going to get into the Word of God, and we're going to get into some worship and some praise. And I'm going to teach you a secret today, a secret. Many of you are missing this secret, and you need this. If you're going to make it, you're going to need this today. And my wife and I, of course, have our testimony that we've been living in India. You know, it's been 19 years in India. And I went to India as a single missionary, and your church, you know, I've been friends with Pastor Brian for years. Your church was meeting in the school down the street, and your church took me up for support. And your church helped me and sent me to India. And we've been starting churches in the slums of Bombay, India, and the churches in Orissa with Pastor Pradeep. And you know my testimony that I have to keep encouraging you today, because my testimony is God called me to be a missionary to go over to India, but I was single, right? What's my testimony? I was looking for a wife, right? And I was single missionary. And I said, Lord, are you going to send me a wife? And God sent Bethany to India. And I met Bethany over there on the mission field. And I always have to start my story like that, because there's always single people. In every church I preach, there's always bachelors and bachelorettes. And there's always single people that need to be encouraged that if you're looking for that spouse this Thanksgiving weekend, that spouse is on the way, right? Maybe they're a little bit delayed. Amen. Maybe that, you know, he's coming on a white horse. It's just the horse's leg got injured, you know. And so I had to wait and pray a long time, and God sent me Bethany. And then we've been serving the Lord together on the, God put us on the same mission field. And that's God's plan for you. If you will serve Jesus through grace that he pours into your heart, the love of Jesus that you'll learn more this morning, if you'll open your heart and fully worship God to serve Jesus, as you walk with Jesus, he'll bring the right person to you. Amen? And let's go to the next picture. The map of India. There we go. So we went to India. There's the different states of India. We have a vision to reach every state of India. And you all have met Pastor Ganesh and Pastor Pradeep as we hit the slums, as we hit the villages and reach the people where they're at. But you know, I'm not here to tell you a story about India today, because I'm here to give you the Word of God. And in the next slide here, the title of my message is It Worth It? We'll learn what's worth it when we enter into the full-hearted worship of God. And the scripture is Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So number one, is God worthy? All right? And we're going to get to the end of this message. We're going to find out that you're also worth it. God is worthy, but you also are worth it. But because guess what? For God's pleasure, you were and are created, right? Do you understand this morning that you were created for God's pleasure? Why do you exist on planet Earth today? You might be struggling in school. You might be struggling at your work, wondering, what are you doing? What kind of job are you working? What kind of career will you do? What is the purpose of your life? And that one scripture is the secret to all of life. It says, for God's pleasure, you were created. Amen. Did you think about that this Thanksgiving? Which, by the way, did you know that I had a really bad Thanksgiving, because my family over in Wyandotte County doesn't even want to thank God as they have their Thanksgiving meal. You know, my wife Bethany cooked the meal this summer. I mean, this Thanksgiving. But you know what? My family is the type, do you have this type of family that they just rush to the food and they forget the prayer? Right? And I thought, oh my gosh, my family wants to have Thanksgiving without thanking anybody. Did you have that kind of Thanksgiving? I can relate if you had that kind of Thanksgiving, right? If you have that kind of family. But you know what? Even if you have that kind of family, your family is still worth it to serve them and to love them. I am not giving up on my family. Are you giving up on your family? Guess what? Jesus died for your family. Jesus died for you. And your family is worth it. Don't give up on your family. And don't give up on yourself, by the way. Have you ever given up on yourself and thought, oh, it just ain't worth it? Well, guess what? Jesus did not give up on you. Jesus thought that you were worth it. Amen? Do you believe that you were worth it? Do you believe that Jesus is worth it? Huh? Because the next scripture says this. Revelation 5, it says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Is he worthy? Now, we ought to get excited about it. See, I'm going to give you a secret today of what you need. You need a song. You need a song on your heart and a song in your lips at all times. Because the next scripture gives us the secret here. It says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, and all that is in heaven, the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Everything is his. Everything in the earth is his. But the next scripture, here's the story. We're going to be a storyteller today, because you all know the story of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When God called the king Jehoshaphat, the leader of God's people, and they're facing the enemy, and the enemy is surrounding them, and they're facing death, they're facing destruction. They're much like we are today. We're facing all kinds of enemies at every side. And you have trials in your life that are trying to destroy your personal life. Satan is trying to destroy you in your life. And what's the secret? How are you going to get the victory? It says, he said, hearken, all Judah, all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou king of Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for You ought to memorize that phrase. The battle is not what? The battle's not yours, but it's God's. So any problem you're facing right now, I can promise you that even though I don't know your story, I know Satan is trying to destroy you. Satan is trying to destroy your family, especially the younger generation. I think every one of us here is conscious that Satan has been very busy trying to destroy the youth today. Is that not true? And we have seen the battle. I think every single day we face that battle, and sometimes we just want to give up. Sometimes we just want to quit. And we got to remember that the youth of today are worth it. Huh? It's worth it to reach the youth. And every generation is worth it. But God calls the older generation to minister to the younger. And every generation is worth it. But the youth today are in that battle, and Satan is trying to take them. But the battle is not ours. The battle is God. Because the next verse, what does the next verse say? It says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, be not dismayed. For tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground. All of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohites and the children of the Korahites, they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud, I like that. With what kind of voice did they praise the Lord? Now, I've noticed that sometimes several people in every church and every Christian has this problem. There are certain people who come into the church and never sing. Have you noticed that? And there's some people who come into the church, and when they sing the worship songs, they sing with what type of voice? Some people sing too loud, don't they? Some people don't, they don't sing on key, right? If you can't sing on key, don't be so loud, right? But, no, the problem is not singing too loud. It's people who sing too quiet, amen? It's like, praise the Lord. And then, like, Ron has this courage being blind, and he doesn't care because God has made him the way he is, and Ron is leading us in worship, and y'all are not getting into it, right? Because what does it say? Worship the Lord with a loud voice, amen? Now, next verse, what does the next verse say? It says, and when he had consulted with the people and appointed the singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Okay, now we're talking military. Now we're talking a battle. It's not just church. This is a war. Which, by the way, did you all know that this today at HBF, this is not just church? Like, we're in a war. Did you all know that? We're in a war right now. And because we're in a war, guess what the strategic plan is? Ron's going to love that. Where's Ron? Okay, Ron, you're going to love this. You know what the plan is, Ron? In verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, all right, they went out before the army. In other words, the singers went out before the army, which meant they went out in front of the army, which means Ron, guess what we're going to do? When we face the army, who are we going to put in front? Huh? Ron, you're going out in front. And we're, guess what, brother? Wherever you go, we're going to follow you. Huh? It's not the blind leading the blind, is it? No, because Ron can see. Did you all know that Ron can see? Ron can see the Lord, can he? When Ron enters into that full-hearted worship, it's because he's seeing the Lord. And when you're in the back singing like, oh, praise the Lord, I don't think you can, I think you need to get some faith, don't you? Amen? Because in verse 22, when they began to sing and praise the Lord, the ambushments against the children of the Lord, I'm sorry, the Lord sent ambushments. The Lord set an ambush. The Lord set an ambush against who? Children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which are coming against Judah, and they were smitten. The enemy was smitten because what happened? Children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of all the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. See, you don't have to face your enemy. You don't have to try to destroy your enemies. Your enemies are going to destroy each other. Amen. I love that. I love to just take a stand for Jesus and watch everybody else fall, right? When you're standing for Jesus, you don't have to fight anybody because the Lord's doing the work. Which, by the way, when me and Bethany go to India and we find all the Hindus that are worshiping their little idol, they have like idol gods and false gods. We don't fight those idol gods, but we take John chapter 12, verse 31 is our promise as we evangelize. You know what that verse says? John 12, 31, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to what? To me. So if we lift up Jesus, Jesus is going to knock down their idols. Amen. You don't have to start fighting idols. You got to lift up Jesus. Amen. And Jesus is going to fight the idols in your family. That's what I'm trying to do with my family who doesn't even want to thank God for Thanksgiving. I'm not fighting the idols of my family, but I'm lifting up Jesus to my family. And one day my family is going to get rid of their idols in their hearts, my American family. Because I have seen Hindus, guess what? Bethany can give a testimony. She has seen Hindus throw away their idols over there in India because they fall in love with Jesus. I'm waiting for Americans to do that. Amen. Now, the next scripture is this. So what am I next? You see, here's what happens when you get full of the Holy Spirit. This is what happens to you. It says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. How do you start speaking when you get the Spirit of God? You start saying psalms, and you start speaking hymns, and you start speaking spiritual songs. And we start singing, and we start making melody in your heart to the Lord. Next slide. So basically what we need is, you need old hymns in your life on a regular basis. You need to sing. You know what? And this is why I'm going to make this church service unique today, is because every single one of you is lacking a little bit. Now, every single one of you, including myself, I'm going to include myself today. I am lacking in my praise life, my worship life, and my singing life, because you will never experience a full victory until you start singing. Amen. Now, what did the Lord give the strategy? He said, put the singers in front. And when you sing, your enemy's going to run away. Amen. Now, some of you sing in the shower, don't you? Do you sing in the shower? But you know what? What God is trying to say here is if you don't have a song on Monday, you're going to be in trouble. You might have a song. See, we praise God for people like Ron because he helps us get a song on Sunday morning. But the problem is, on Monday morning, you know what you're singing? Country music, right? You tune in the country station, you get the rock and roll station, right? And that's why we love Christmas time. Don't you love Christmas time? Because if you turn on that channel that has Christmas music, a lot of the time it's going to be a praise song, even on a secular station, amen? Even secular stations praise Jesus Christ at Christmas time. And why do we love those old Christmas hymns? Because they're easy to memorize. You have all those Christmas hymns memorized. And you know something? A lot of the new songs, you know what? I love the old songs and I love the new songs. How about you? I love the new praise songs. I love them all. But you know something? I'm looking over here at this congregation today and there's several older folks and there's several younger folks. And you know, there's a lot of you young people. I'm looking at some of the teenagers. You don't know the old songs. And because you don't know the old songs, you're missing out. You know, you don't have proper respect for your elders. You don't have a proper respect for the older generation. You think everything new is all that it is. But you know what? A lot of those old songs need to be brought back. Amen. And it happens through some of the new groups like Casting Crowns, right? Casting Crowns brings back the old hymns, right? And I'm going to tell you a story. After I play this first song for you, I'm going to tell you a story because these songs changed our lives. Like when me and Pastor Brian were young guys back in the 80s and the 90s, right? These songs changed our lives. And I think these songs changed your life. And some of you young people need to appreciate and actually get in touch with your heritage. You know, when you call a church a Baptist church, it's because the Baptist heritage has a 2,000-year heritage, right? You're in history. You're not just separated from history and you're just doing your own thing in the modern day, right? You're not a modern person that's not connected to history. And every young people here today, you need to be connected to your history and get a song in your heart. Amen. And so in our my next slide, I believe I'm up to, let's go. So I have the first video. It's all ready. Let's play the first video. This is a song that changed our life that you need today. Let's play that.
Let's stand together, please. 206.
Turn up the volume a little bit. We used to just have a ball singing those songs. We used to just fall over in joy at how much we enjoyed the grace of God. When you get to know the grace of God, you get so excited about it and you start belting it out. And these are songs that you can memorize and it becomes in your heart. And my wife loves it when we're driving down the road and I'm just belting it out as I'm singing and driving at the same time, right, honey? And you know, at the end of this sermon today, I've presented a playlist. I'm going to ask the AV department to put my playlist on your website because every one of you needs to develop these songs in your life.
And as we experience that joy, we get to learn doctrine through singing songs. Now let's skip through a couple of more slides here before I get to the next one. And that is learning Christ Arose. How many of you guys remember this song called Christ Arose? Raise your hand. Now, this is a rejoiceful song because you understand that when Jesus died on the cross, you died on the cross with him. When Jesus rose from the dead, you rose from the dead with him. So even though Christ arose, it's talking about your own resurrection to a new life in Christ. Amen? So let's go to video number two.
Amen. Would you join us in standing in your hymnals? You should find one close by, number 185. If you join us, number 185, we'll sing all three verses this morning of Christ Arose. Number 185, on that first verse begins, "Lo, in the grave he lay," lifted up together now on this first verse. Just run through once. Death could not keep his prey. He tore the bars away. Lift it up on that last verse one more time, all together now.
Yeah.
one of us needs songs that not only lift our hearts to praise, but we also need songs that will take you through the valley of tears and sadness and depression. And you know something? You need a song to get you through the nighttime. Amen? There's going to come a nighttime in your life of tears and crying, and you need a song that'll take you through. And that's why I picked out this next song, because it's an old country hymn. It's not like the ones you just heard. It's a more of a newer one. But it's called, how many of you heard this before? For Those Tears I Died. Raise your hand. You heard this song before? This is a song you need to put in your playlist. It'll take you through the tears of the night. So let's listen to this one, and the words will be on the screen. You can learn the words by looking at the screen. Go ahead and play number three.
Share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending you away, but just like you promised, you came here to stay. I just had to pray. The water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried, and I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. I don't understand, but dear Lord, I know that all this was planned. I know you're here now and always will be. Your love is my chains, and in you I'm free. But Jesus, why me? And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. And I strove to remind you that for those tears I died. for those years I died.
And, you know, I have a story real quick about music. When you get these songs in your heart and your soul and you memorize the words, you know, you'll just be walking through your life at work and at school and you'll be humming the tune and you'll forget all that secular music that means nothing. Amen. All that secular music that has no purpose for your life. And you'll get words in scripture and you'll get hymns and spiritual songs in your mind and your heart so full that you'll just begin to sing them. And I have this quick testimony before I go to the towards the end of our message today. And the testimony is this. As me and Bethany were doing ministry in Bombay, India, a lot of times we reach a lot of Hindus and Buddhists. But did you know that the Lord gave me one Muslim boy who converted to Christ? This Muslim young boy, he was 16 years old, and I was mentoring him, I was discipling him. But you know what? He was not yet saved. He was coming to church as a Muslim boy, and he was asking questions about Jesus Christ, and I was doing my best to answer all of his questions, coming from a Muslim background. And one day, he just got tired of all his questions, and he said, you know something, I don't understand. He told me he doesn't understand the Bible, right? And he was trying to get who Jesus Christ is. He couldn't understand it. And so this is his testimony. This young Muslim boy, his name is Zubair. So Zubair came to the church and he started learning the worship songs. And he started coming to church and listening to me preach and other people preach. And Zubair stood there as everybody else was singing the songs. And he didn't know the words. He was a Muslim. He didn't know the words to the Christian songs. But as he was listening to the praise leader, he enjoyed the words of the song, started to mean something to him. And he came back a second week. He came back a third week. And by week number three, he had memorized all the words of the song. I couldn't believe it. Even Americans don't memorize that many songs that quick, right? But this Muslim boy, 16 years old, memorized all the worship songs, and he said, you know what? He started to enter into the worship, and he had not yet been saved. He had not yet trusted Christ as Savior. He was still stuck with Muhammad, right? But you know what happened? You know how he got delivered? And this is the testimony, is that as he was singing the song, he felt himself start believing. Amen? And I asked him after church, I met him after church was finished. I said, hey, Zubair, did you enjoy church today? Did you learn anything from the sermon? And he said, you know something? I don't know what that pastor was talking about. It wasn't me preaching that Sunday, you know? But there was another preacher. And Zubair said, I don't know what that pastor was preaching, but I know what they were singing about. He said, I love the music in that church. And you know what he told me? He said, hey, Doug, today I became a Christian. I said, what? Like, you didn't wait for me to lead you in a sinner's prayer? I was supposed to lead you to Christ. Like, you mean the Holy Spirit got you saved without me? Right? And he said, yeah. He said, you know what we were singing? We were singing, thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. That's a new song, by the way. That's not an old hymn. And he was singing that song, thank you for the cross, Lord, as a Muslim. And he said, you know what? Thank you for the cross, Lord. I believe. And he got saved singing a song. How about you? Do you ever get saved singing a song? You know? In one way, I got saved singing a song because when I was raised in Wyandotte County in an atheist family, it was Christians in my public high school that started giving me tapes. You know? You know back in the day when we had tapes? Does anybody remember those? And they started giving me tapes of Christian music, and I would listen to Christian music as a lost teenager when I was still an atheist, and I was drawn to Jesus Christ through the music, amen? You ought to try that. If you know somebody who's lost, just give them some Christian music, amen? It'll deliver them. And my friend Zubair, this is the end of the story. So I discipled Zubair after he got saved, became a Christian. He grew in the church, he got baptized, he kept coming to church. But this is the problem with him. Because he comes from a Muslim family, he's afraid that his uncles and his even his father are going to kill him. Now this gets where it gets really serious, because you know, in the Muslim culture, they have this thing called honor killing. And that is, if someone converts to Christ and they leave Islam, sometimes the relatives get jealous and they go persecute their own family for choosing Jesus Christ. And sometimes it can cause death. And so my friend Zubair, he was afraid to tell his uncles and his fathers. So he became a secret Christian. And that exists in parts of the world. Secret Christians. And so this is the end of his testimony, is that Zubair called me one day, like a few years later. He called me on the phone. This is after we got the video. This is after I used to have a flip phone for years. And now I finally went to the video phone. And Zubair called me, and we had been separated for a while. Like, I already discipled him. He'd already grew in Christ, but I lost touch with him for a short time. And then out of nowhere, he called me. Now, I knew he was still a secret Christian, and his family didn't know, and only he had friends in his school that knew, but his family didn't know. So he gave me a video call, and Zubair said, "Hey, Doug, look where I am." And he pulled back the phone, and I saw behind his shoulder the Kaaba of Mecca. You know Mecca in Saudi Arabia? You know the Muslims have their thing called the Hajj pilgrimage, right? And there's this big tower with a moon rock in the middle of it, and all the Muslims do you ever heard of Ramadan, right? And they walk around the Kaaba, and there's this big tower, right? You ever seen this on National Geographic before? And they walk around as Muslims, and they're all dressed in white robes, and these Muslims don't know who they're praying to, right? Like, they don't know what they're doing. They're just repeating mantras. And so guess what? Zubair called me from there because his uncles and his father demanded that he would do this. And he didn't want to tell them, "I'm a Christian." He's a coward. I forgot the discipleship lesson on don't be a coward, you know? So Zubair called me. Guess what he did? He says, "Doug," he's like whispering, he goes, "pray for me. This is crazy. I'm going crazy." He said, "I'm walking around the Kaaba with all these Muslims, but I'm praying in the name of Jesus." Right? And he goes, "I'm praying for all of these Muslims that they would all have visions of Jesus and come to Jesus. And that's what I'm doing. I'm not praying to Allah. I'm praying to God my Father in the name of Jesus Christ." I said, "Hallelujah." I said, "Brother, I'll pray for you that God will give you strength to walk around that Kaaba and pray in the name of Jesus, that everyone would come to Christ," right? And he said, "Hey, Doug, guess what?" And he showed me his ear. He was listening to something through his earbuds. I said, "What are you listening to?" He said, "Casting Crowns." Right? And that's the power of music, isn't it? Did you know that God created music? God created music because there's something about music, the way God created it, that music takes your spirit. It's not just your emotions. Music ministers to your what? Your spirit. And it gives you a meditation that if you enter into that song, there is no other thoughts that can enter into your mind but only the words of that song. Amen? If you really learn the purpose of music. And that's why secular music is so dangerous. Amen? Because did you know that Satan used to be called, what was his old name? Lucifer. And what was Lucifer's job in heaven? He was the song leader, right? So Lucifer knows music, doesn't he? If Lucifer becoming Satan, Satan knows music, so Satan knows how to get into your country music and into your rock and roll, doesn't he? Now, I like rock and roll and country, but I don't like it when Satan touches it, right? That's why you need a Christian song, and whatever style of music you like, you need a Christian song, a melody in your heart unto the Lord all day long, or you're not going to be able to make it, you know? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to skip to the end. I'm going to get to the very last one. I want to skip. Let's go to my notes that go to, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Get to the scripture that says 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Then we're going to do one more song and we'll be finished, okay? One more song and we'll be done. Because the title of my message today is it worth it? Is it worth it? Right? Now, the question I had for you in the beginning is Jesus worth it in your life that you would give 100% to Jesus? Or do sometimes, like me, Do you ever have a bad thought in your mind and you think, you know what? It's just not worth it. You know, we all have that thought sometimes. Sometimes we wake up on a Sunday morning and we think, I am not going to church because it's just not worth it. Where does that thought come from? It comes from Satan, right? But is church worth it? Yes, it is. Is serving God worth it? Yes, it is. Now, are you worth it? Yes, you are. You are worth it. Jesus thought you were worth his blood. So never have a negative self-image thinking, oh, I'm just worthless. I'm just not worth it. No, you are worth it. Give yourself another chance. God's giving you another chance. Amen? And don't be so hard on yourself. And don't be so hard on your kids either. Give your kids a second chance. Amen? Give your kids a third chance. I'm on chance 356 right now. But see, the question I'm leaving you today is, and we're going to finish with one song and then we're going to have our Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, for no other foundation can any man that laid, which is Jesus Christ, is the only foundation. But see, when you build upon that foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. For if every man's work abide, which he has built, he will receive a reward. But if any man's work is burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. So the question I have for you today is there anything in your life that's wood, hay, and stubble that's actually not worth it? Okay? Now, separate yourself from the wood, hay, and stubble. You yourself are worth it, okay? But some of the stuff in your life is just not worth it. I've got bad news and good news for you today. All right? I'm here as a prophet to warn you that all of you have things in your life that are not worth it, and you need to get rid of it. Amen? If there's something in your life that's just not worth it, stop. Get rid of it. Repent. Because guess what? It's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. And when God tests it at the Bema seat, it's going to go up. And you're going to need a gas mask. Right? It's going to be nothing because you've been involved in something that has no meaning in your life. It's just nothing. It's fluff. But guess what? I think everyone here today, you are hungry for something real, aren't you? Are you hungry for something real? You're hungry for gold, silver, and precious stones that when the fire of God tests those things in your life, it will last on to eternity. And those are the times that you showed love. Amen? That's the times that you received love from Jesus and you gave the love of Jesus to others. It's the times that you learn the word of God. That's gold, silver right there. As you learn the word of God in discipleship, that was gold. That was going to last. And then as you take what you learn in discipleship, you're passing it on to someone else. That's the gold. That's the silver. That's the precious stones. It's going to last. But the question I have for you today is discipleship worth it? Huh? Oh, no, I'm going to quit my discipleship. It's just not worth it. No, it's worth it, is it? Is it worth it? And that's why we're going to close with this last song before we go into the Lord's Supper, because the final video number 5, this is the song that me and Pastor Brian, we used to just jump and shout, and we used to go to a place called Old McDonald's Farm and just have a summer camp, you know? And this was always the closing song. So play number 5. And if you know this song, sing along. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. If you know the song, sing along.
Thank you.
And so I hope you're looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ one day, but there may be someone here today. Maybe you're not ready. Maybe you need to meet the Lord Jesus Christ today. Maybe today is your day where you surrender that heart to Jesus and the Word of God today. You need a prayer. If you need a prayer today, you can pray with one of the pastors and our leaders here. I want you to feel free and feel that this is your day to pray and receive Christ. Because we're about to go to the Lord's Supper, which means we're going to remember that, hey, Christ has done it all. And before I remember that Christ has done it all, that he shed his blood and broke his body for me, I better make it right with God right now, today, this Thanksgiving weekend. If there's anyone in your life that you have not forgiven, you need to forgive them. If there's anything that you have done, maybe there's a sin that you've done, you need to confess that just before the Lord, before you take this Lord's Supper. Say, Lord, I believe in you, but I've sinned, and I need your daily forgiveness. I need that restoration in my fellowship with God. You can never lose your salvation, but you can lose that fellowship. And I want to give you this song that we have sung, all these four songs today. I want you to remember these and take songs in your car, in your house, in your work, and everywhere you go, sing a song. But before we go into the Lord's Supper, I want to say a prayer. If there's anyone here that needs a prayer of surrender to Christ, I want you to pray that as you bow your head. So everyone bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, we give a prayer right now of surrender. There are several people here that have been going through some difficulties. And Lord, different one of us have sinned. Different one of us have been sinned against, and people have hurt us. And so, Lord, please forgive us. And we also forgive those who've hurt us. We don't want to cause damage to the glory of God. And so forgive any sins that we've been doing so that we can restore our fellowship with you. And if there's anyone here that's not sure that you're saved, maybe you've never surrendered to be saved and born again, raise your hand and say, I want to be born again. I want to receive Jesus Christ today. Raise your hand and say, I need Jesus to save me today. Raise your hand and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save my soul and forgive my sins in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we just pray that you would restore us, God. We pray that prayer of surrender, that each one of us Christians would surrender to you and get a song in our heart every day. And give us a good fellowship now as we go into the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name, amen.